Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Lee hits a little punch shot and a squibber. McMahon, not in time. Wow. McMahon got the force at third, and Chapman-like made it real close at first.
What a play.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, coming up in 10 minutes, Javi Lopez.
Javi.
Four-time World Series champ, and he was on the call for NBC Sports Bay Area last night. Giants score 4 in the ninth.
He's good.
He's great.
We've actually been blessed in the Bay with announcers. Seriously.
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
We'll see.
Bill King?
Okay. Well, there's a good one.
It starts there for me.
Okay, then who?
Holy moly! Holy
Toledo.
No, but I'm talking about against the Chargers in San Diego, the Holy Roly. When it was Dave Casper.
I'm going to let you on your own on this one.
Yeah, he fumbled the ball and got in the end zone, and they made a rule about it against the Chargers, San Diego.
Evan, you remember that game?
Okay. Yeah, it was negative 12.
Hey.
Where was Pops? The Pops might not even been around. Real quick, happy birthday to my sister, Katina Johnson.
How old?
2 years younger than me, so that'll make her 43. Now, why would you laugh?
And what's her name?
Katina.
Katina.
I call her Nene.
How much she make? She work?
Just
stop!
You're going to get one in the kisser one day. You're going to be in the wrong environment, dude.
By the way, a sincere and heartfelt thank you to Evan and Carter. That was an incredible breakfast sandwich. May I ask where you got it?
Right around the corner at Posh Bagel.
Oh, my God.
Did you pay him?
Evan said I can pay him Friday. Something that you've never done.
Well, I was going to say my finals bet should be in because OKC is not losing again, but they don't play every 8 days. So we got a little while.
I'm looking at the 2021 team. All right, the one that won 107. You want to go through the lineup a little bit?
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to figure out why people are more optimistic about this team than that team, if that's the case.
Maybe. Well, one, they're doing less platooning. Shout out Charlie Sheen.
Right, but does that in and of itself lead a Giants fan to have more confidence that they're not platooning as much as they had during a year they won more games?
Well, we saw in that season a guy would have two hits in the first two at-bats and get yanked for the analytics in the seventh, eighth, or ninth.
And then the guy who would come in the seventh would get a hit.
Sometimes not, but I guess
they won 107 that way.
Let's do it this way. You tune in to Steiny and Goo. With all our imperfections and flaws. If we weren't here every other day, I'm sure.
Careful, let's just not go down that road. We don't want to invite those kind of comments.
I don't know what you're implying, but the bottom line is you want to be attached to the guys, the everydays. That's all.
So Posey was the catcher that year.
Buster.
He caught 113 games, which is pretty good for him at that age. Brandon Belt was at first.
The captain.
Although he only played 97 games, so he was being, he was minding down.
Yeah.
You remember Donovan Solano?
I do. Donnie Barrels, Donnie.
Brandon Crawford was on that team. He had a good year. Hit 298 at 34. Evan Longoria, he played half a season.
Longo.
So I guess here's where the difference is.
I already know.
Dickerson, Duggar, Yastrzemski. And here's your boy Darren Ruff and Austin Slater.
Yeah.
Maybe it's simply the personnel and the fact that I think it's got to do with a lot of things. I think, first of all, there is something to putting essentially the same lineup out there every day, or at least trying to. And I think the other thing that's really working in the Giants' favor right now is they got some young players where the fans can get a little bit interested in them.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm talking about Ramos, but Birdsong, too. Rodriguez is another one, but look, this team is showing they can win close games, or at least knows how to win close games. And I got to believe, again, they're not going to win them all, but they're going to be more comfortable than most opponents playing that type of baseball.
No doubt about it. And you, what did you use, Donnie? I know it's kind of been, I don't want to say overused, but you used the word torture. And I'm just saying there's a long way to go, but if you get to that plateau to where the Giants are in a series, I mean, the way that they've done it, their DNA is we go through torture nightly. You know, we're ready. We're made for this. So I'll say this, and I think we already know it's early compared to that 2021 season, but Stani's not like – what percent are we, would you say, 40% for the season? Yeah,
about that. Yeah, 40, 45.
This probably. Rotation is performing better than the one in 2021. And that's what's shocking to me. I want to ask Javi, like, how shocked is he?
Is pretty darn good.
And what do you do with Harrison when Verlander's ready? I mean, that wasn't a bad outing. I'm not saying it, you know, it was a no-hitter, but I know it's politics in regard to follow the money, and he was one of your acquisitions, but I don't know. Wow.
This from the 925, Guru platoons on Thursdays.
But if we really went over the analytics of it.
Now, you've been spreading it out well.
Like Thursday's not better. A thing.
No, it isn't. Okay. It's not a thing each and every week. Well, the day can switch up.
Well, let me just talk to the people. 30 seconds. I am a family guy, Snotty. Family never goes out of style. That's the one thing I mastered in my life. And when there's surgeries or accidents, I'm there.
My bad.
So if you want to make fun of that part of
am. No.
And that's why I appreciate the boss and Odyssey and all the people here, the higher-ups, to, you know, check on me.
The
you want to make fun of it?
No, yeah. No, not at all. Absolutely, I wouldn't do that. It's the listeners that are making fun. And I got your back, buddy.
Yeah, please.
I got your back. I mean, if anybody needs a day off, it's your boy.
Well, take one. I hate a moper.
I'm not moping.
You're a grown-ass man. Evan called you out in the bullpen today.
That's why we got you the sandwich.
Dude, Evan, no doubt. You just think it was food. It was a necessity for us to get through these 4 hours. Good job, E. Carter, way to go.
Sometimes you got to read your teammates, Steiny.
That's
and
all.
And you see what they need. You need a
food.
You're
making me less appreciative. And here's why. I didn't know you guys were getting me a sandwich in the first block of the show. 10 to 10:12. I didn't know you were getting me a sandwich. Go back and listen to that, and you listen to hear if I'm negative. I'm not. I said it's baseball. Look at the Giants. So I was fighting my innate hangriness, and you couldn't detect any anger or hunger during that first segment.
But we saw you pregame. That's where the worry.
We worked with you for hours before the show.
Yeah, it was when you got to the facilities.
Boys.
I walked in like, oh, Lord.
Showtime is different.
But don't you feel better now?
Yes, I do. But I was.
That's the point.
Well, you got two jobs. I'm worried. They might phase me out. Evan and Goo. But you're doing a good job. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
How earlier do you got to get here, though? For that hit?
No, earlier. I get here usually around 8, 7:50. Like to give myself 2:10.
Well, you go to bed at 8.
Yes, I do. Sometimes.
I never want that part of my life.
I don't go to bed at
That's
8.
That's too early.
I like to get into bed about 9.
That's still 8.
Get into bed at 9, look at the phone a little, get the heavy eyelid, and night-night.
I love it.
Bob Melvin.
Bo Mails, Donnie.
Here's what he had to say about the bats after last night's come-from-behind victory.
The at-bats got so much better than basically the entire game. You know, Willie hits a homer, knocks in the first run. You know, we don't do a ton other than that. And then in the last inning against their two best relievers, we put together great at-bats, whether it was making them work and drawing walks. And, you know, obviously Yaz with a huge hit. And every now and then you're going to get a dribbler like Flo's. Get a break, but when you're getting at bat after at bat, that was really good. Drawing some walks and putting pressures on guys, a lot of times good things are going to happen.
I'm one of these guys that I look at last night's game and sure, Yaz got the game winner, but game was about Flores and that little topper. But once the game gets tied, pressure's off.
No, Stiney, stop.
I'm telling you. That's what they were down. They started the ninth inning down.
But Fitzgerald's nine-pitch at bat. I mean, that was a walk.
Right.
And then Kisner gets the walk. Those are said, like, Flores is not even batting.
What I'm saying is they already tied the game up. They already tied the game up. It's like basketball. You're down 10 with 2 minutes to go. You make some shots. Those are pressure shots. All of a sudden, you tie the game and you have the last possession. Guess what? That's gravy. That's a gravy possession. There's no pressure when you've already scored 3 runs to tie the game.
Well,
sure.
To me, you're on the road. Sure. You don't want that bottom of the ninth action to where one swing could send you home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or in the clubhouse.
Just know and acknowledge that I'm right about this, that a tie game, there's far less pressure than a game where you're down either a bucket or a couple of runs. Just, that's so logical, it's not even funny, right?
I'm going to plead the fifth. I'm going to do you. I'm going to plead the fifth.
People, you know what I'm talking about. Even if Guru doesn't want to acknowledge.
We got our guy coming up, Steiny.
Javi Lopez.
Pitcher.
Four-time World Series champion coming up momentarily. And the San Francisco Giants, they're rolling. They've won six in a row. by 6 runs.
Man.
Total.
Yeah.
And last night was another one. 6-5 in Colorado. So the San Francisco Giants, ladies and gentlemen, have captured your attention. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. And, Goo, I guess the afternoon show is down in on the peninsula at Laughing Monk.
Oh, that I did not know.
I think they're doing a remote today.
Oh, man.
Evan
well,
with
good.
The thumbs up.
Yeah.
And
I hate when we don't see him, but we'll see him on the computer.
But here's the other thing. And then I was listening to the station, and I heard him advertise for playing golf with Dibley and Willard. Did you hear that one up at Cache Creek? Now, this one's bothering me a little bit.
It should. Maybe people in the sales been finding out. We got
All right. We've got Javi Lopez. Yeah, we do. Okay. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Let's welcome in Javier Lopez, San Francisco Giants color analyst for NBC Sports Bay Area. He was on the call last night, 4-time World Series champion, 3 times with the Giants. Javi, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it, man.
Guys, anytime. I appreciate you having me.
Javi. So let me ask you this. When you're watching that game last night, down 5-2, what's the confidence level? And if there is any, is it because of how the Giants are playing, the opponent, or what they've kind of done in the last 5 or 6 games in these one-run games?
Confidence level, I think, was a little bit lower in a sense that the runs that were given up there in the eighth, you thought, oh, man, the way they weren't going to score, they weren't scoring. You're like, oh, boy, well, the at-bats hadn't been looking good against the relievers for the Rockies. But, you know, the point I was trying to make is twofold. One, it's Coors Field. You're always a walk away from a rally, and that's what happened. And the other thing is that when you're not accustomed to winning, you don't pitch in that ninth inning a whole lot. That's a whole different type of pressure, and the Rockies have not put themselves in that spot too often, and it's hard to close out victories. And the proof was in the pudding yesterday with the Giants. They were able to kind of fight in that bat, and I think that swing from Schmidt, first pitch fastball, just stunned Agnos in that ninth inning. I think he got rattled. That was just a little punch in the face, and all of a sudden you're blooping a blast away, and the Giants, give them credit, they were able to work those counts, and you know they're not afraid to get in a one-run game, and Camilo comes in and closes it out. But it is – it's just a typical Coors Field game. It's just never the way you think it's going to play out.
No doubt, Javi, and you were great on the call. I just want to ask you this. Last week, you know, Lamont Wade gets DFA'd, and they lost a couple games to the Padres, and the bats kind of were asleep. You've played this game at a high level. Can you walk us through, is it just happenstance that all of a sudden we're seeing the Giants play better, more sound baseball after that day, after the transactions, and not to mention Dominic Smith using the glove at first base? Like, man, where'd he come from? It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, you know, I think Buster Posey deserves a little bit of credit here in a sense that he had to have the tough conversation, right? Nobody ever wants to do that, especially when you're firing a guy that was your buddy and your teammate, and you got to tell him, hey, we've seen enough. We appreciate your effort, but we got to move in a different direction. That's a tough conversation to have, and he had it. And I think what happens, whether the guys want to acknowledge it or not, there's a little ripple effect going on through that locker room. We're like, okay, we're getting rid of late night Lamont. Like, he was leading the world in on base percentage last year, and he was just scuffled all year long. And, you know, to make a move like that, I think it wakes up a lot of the guys where it's like, holy smokes. I mean, he gets his papers and they're going to pay out that contract. You know, I got to clean up my effort. And I think when he did that, it kind of just sparked the guys a little bit. And again, now they're not hitting the cover off the ball by any means, but you do see some more concerted efforts in some of these at bats where guys are trying to work the counts a little bit deeper, trying to take advantage of a mistake. Now, it didn't happen last night. You're still playing one run games. It's kind of rinse and repeat a lot of these games, but I do think when it comes down to those late inning games, you're seeing a better at bats from the guys.
Javi Lopez joining us on 95.7 The Game, San Francisco Giants color analyst for NBC Sports Bay Area. Obviously, Willy Adames homered last night. He's been struggling all year pretty much, but particularly, let's say, in the last 2 or 3 weeks. Can professional baseball players and teammates get a sense for when a guy might break out? And if so, do you kind of feel like Adames is getting closer?
Yeah, I think you can kind of get a vibe. And a lot of that comes with maybe hard contact, you know, maybe kind of, you never dictate the count as a hitter, but, you know, you file off some good pitchers' pitches and you take advantage of some things. You're not swinging and chasing out of the zone a lot, and you kind of refine that. You can kind of see when a guy's going to start to make that turn. I think with Willie being able to work the count last night and hit that big home run to tie the ball game, it was a big spot for him, and getting that RBI, getting a couple RBIs, just feeling like you contribute is something that just gets off the shoulders of these guys, where they're able to finally realize that I don't need to do too much. I just need to kind of just play my part and take advantage of a pitch when I get the opportunity. And he did a great job of that last night. And I think he knows now with Chappie out, who knows how long that might be. Hopefully it's not too long, but anytime you have an injury to the hand, it's the timetable's just always kind of thrown out there, just because you don't know ultimately what's going on inside that hand till the swelling goes down and things like that. So I think for Willie, I think it's the guys rally around him. They're pulling for him. You can see it in the dugout. They're always excited, and he leads the charge for getting excited for the rest of the boys. So I think it's one of those things where he's going to take another level here to take another step, hopefully, and kind of reassert himself and not try to do too much in these at-bats. I think he finds the gap. It's great. Throws when just a couple knocks is fine. He doesn't need the home runs. I don't think the Giants need that right now. They just need him to be on base and be a disruptor. And I think he's got that ability. And I think with Casey Schmidt now getting the opportunity to play third base, he's got the same thing. We've seen flashes of the talent that he has. He's a tremendous third baseman in the minor leagues, wins a gold glove down there for that. But the offense has not been consistent for him, but he's got a lot of talent, and that's the reason he's up here. So he's going to have a lot of runway to do his thing. And like you guys mentioned, sorry, I didn't talk about Dom Smith, but the kid's, he's a professional. I mean, he plays great defense. He's playing a lot better defense, and I think guys are giving him credit for at first base. And, you know, he's another guy that's going to be a key piece, being able to kind of work these at-bats and just try to keep the line moving.
Hey, Javi, you know, I've took a couple L's here in the station the last couple baseball seasons because I thought the Giants were going to be a wild card team and get hot at the end. Didn't happen, and hopefully this year they win the division. But 67 games in, they're a half game out of the division. If I were to ask you, Javi Lopez, what surprised you most about this team thus far, how would you answer that?
I think what surprises me more than anything is their ability to win these one-run games. The pitching you knew was going to be good. I think I'm a little surprised at the depth in the bullpen and just the overall ability for them to dominate. I mean, they have been dominating when they come into the games. And, you know, I think that is the kind of the thing that jumps off here for me. Again, essentially it's the same roster as last year, and it's not a lineup with a lot of thump in it, not a lot of power threats. So you do have to be creative in how you're going to score runs. But I just think that overall, that pitching staff, the way they've kind of gone out and really, really put the Giants in a good spot where, you know, you try to fight to get to four runs, and it's hard. It's hard in the big leagues to get to four runs. But if the Giants do that, the success rate for them is just incredible. And that's just a testament to the concerted effort in spring training to just start attacking the strike zone, throw lots of strikes, and be over the plate more and trust your defense. And obviously bring in Adames and having Chapman on that left side when you're a ground ball. If you're not striking them out, you're a big ground ball pitching staff. I think shoring up that infield defense has paid off.
Javi Lopez joining us on 95.7 The Game. San Francisco Giants color analyst for NBC Sports Bay Area. He called the game last night in Colorado. You obviously were a relief pitcher, Javi. Let me ask you, is there something different about a relief pitcher who comes in and gives up a home run on the first pitch he throws? As opposed to, you know, not the first pitch he throws, because I know it only made it 5-3 at that point, but does it put more doubt in the pitcher's head if it is the first pitch?
Yeah, honestly, just watching the body language, it's like he got punched in the face. It's the old Mike Tyson. Everyone's got a plan. They get smacked in the face. And it really was. It's a pitch that he doesn't – again, it's 95. Don't get me wrong. All these guys are throwing hard, but – that's not his primary pitch, and he's just trying to get ahead in the count, and you just get that ambush swing from Casey Schmidt, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, what just happened? I didn't even get into the count. I haven't gotten loose, and already he's in the fight, and I think it rattled him, and I think all of a sudden he's trying to land the off speed, and he's trying to be perfect with it, and it's a guy that had been giving up runs the last couple times out, so it's not like he's pitching with a lot of confidence. Like maybe Bird and like the other guys that were throwing before him, they were throwing the ball tremendous. But, you know, you go in there and you've given up a couple runs your last outing, and all of a sudden you go out there, you throw one pitch, you give up a homer. Yeah, there's a little bit of panic mode that sets in, and you are up two, but sometimes you don't even think about it like that. You just think that you have to be so crisp and so fine, and that's where you got to give the Giants credit, where they're able to take some walks, and Kisner with a huge walk, being able to do that and come out and do that, and Fitzgerald, he's down in the count. Now he works a walk. I mean, these are guys that earlier in the game were chasing and letting the Rockies really dictate what was going on at the plate. But they were able to make that adjustment in the ninth. And, yeah, well, I'll tell you as a reliever, man, when that happens, you feel like your game plan has just all of a sudden been flipped and you got to try to figure it out.
Man, you had mentioned bullpen, and I wanted to run this by you. Do you see any similarities? Because you were part of the core four when you were on the Giants. Do you see any similarities in that bullpen you were a part of and this current one that's been filthy, as you mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's the ability to be consistent. I think that was kind of the one thing that Romo and Casilla and Affelt and myself, we were consistent. And again, the velocity, there's nowhere near. This bullpen's the gas is unbelievable with the stuff that they have, but the consistency is something that's I'm really enjoying. And, you know, Randy Rodriguez deserves more love. He needs his flowers. I mean, this guy's been pitching unbelievably, and I wouldn't be surprised if he makes an all-star team as a middle reliever just because of the numbers that he's putting up. But you know what you're getting now with these guys. They're throwing a bunch of strikes. They're going for the strikeouts. They got some good kill pitches. You're getting different angles, which is kind of what the one thing that was our hallmark was being able to kind of show different arm angles to guys along with different stuff. And I think the Giants have that, and Rodgers and Miller from the left side and being able to kind of do those things. But it's just the fact that they're going out there and they're consistent. They know when they're throwing the ball. They know when they're getting it. They've been slotted into certain roles. And that's when you excel. And that's what I'm noticing with this bullpen.
Javi, sometimes inside this studio, when we can't really explain something, we'll say, well, that's baseball. And that'll kind of do it. And I'm without you being able to use that answer, I'm going back to last Tuesday after the Giants lost their second game of that series to the Padres by one run. And I remember being in here, and it was, you know, it was like a morgue in here because the team wasn't scoring. And now here we are a week later, and we're talking about, hey, they might have something special going here. I mean, how do you explain what's happened to this team in the last week?
Yeah, well, you know, Dave and Dave Fleming and I were kind of talking about that. It has really been rinse and repeat. It's been the same game that the Giants have been playing, where a one-run game, they struggle to add on. Like last night, they score in the first. They score quick. I think they scored in the first three pitches of the game. And then all of a sudden, it's not – there's no add-on runs. It kind of just hits a lull in the middle part of the game. And then at the end, there's a little bit of action. And it's a different – it's tough to describe this team. It really is, because it just comes down to finding a way to push the envelope. And you're going to have to be creative in how you score, because, again, the power isn't – their hallmark, and what they're going to have to do is be creative and try to maybe not hit and runs. I think those are, you know, they're not in baseball anymore. That's not the thing, but try to get, if there's a chance to get a stolen base, go get it, because this team isn't built on getting 3-4 hits an inning. And, baseball is just not built like that anymore with the kind of power arms and stuff that you have to face. So I think when it comes to this team, it just reminds me a lot of that 2010-11 team, more the 11 team. I thought we pitched the ball extremely well, and it was just an offense that kind of struggled to find a way to score some runs. So I think when you look at this team, you have to understand that Giants torture baseball is real. It's a thing. It has been a thing. And, you know, I know fans want that 12-1 victory. I know I do, but I wouldn't hold my breath. Put it that way.
Well, I love it. Javi, I got to do this. I got to be this guy, because I'm thinking about it, and I told my partner yesterday, and he just scoffed at me. But the All-Star game, it's coming. I know it's a little ways off, but could you see a scenario to where Webb, Ray, Doval, and Rodriguez made the All-Star team?
I can absolutely see that. Again, it's, you know, Camilo has been throwing the ball tremendous, and most of the closers get the love and starting pitchers. That's just the standard of an All-Star game. But you can mix in middle relievers, and I think Randy Rodriguez – you look at his numbers and what he's been able to do, he deserves it. He deserves that opportunity to pitch in the Midsummer Classic. And, you know, I think you can make an argument that Robbie Ray should be starting the All-Star game with the way he's been throwing the ball. And that's a perfectly valid argument. And the way he's just commanded the zone, he's been able to get a bunch of wins for the Giants. And, you know, he's been a nice revelation for them coming off second year off of that surgery, off of Tommy John. And he's just throwing the ball so well that you can make that argument. Logan Webb, again, he's Mr. Consistent. I think there's no question there when you look at what he can do. So, yeah, you can make that argument for a lot of those guys. And will it happen? It depends how good Bomel is with Dave Roberts at that point when you win the World Series. Because you get to try to – when you get a guy that is picking those teams, he's going to normally pick the guys that helped him win a World Series. But you never know. He might throw a little love the Giants' way.
Hey, real quick, Javi, you know, when this team wasn't hitting during that 16-game stretch, it just was feeling morbid around here. Would you agree? Mm-hmm. It feels like, and I get it, they've played 8 straight one-run games. They lost the first 2 one-run games. But it feels like after this past week, like they found an identity, almost like this is how they're going to have to win games. And the bats still aren't booming, but it feels like the confidence has come to this team.
Yeah, I'm a big body language guy. And so being on TV, you don't get all the shots in the dugout, but being able to broadcast and be here and I get to watch it, I see not many heads are hanging. There's never that situation. And I think when you get that, you can be sneaky dangerous in the regard that you believe in yourselves. And you've been in this fight. And again, it's a fight for these guys every time. I mean, again, one run games, that wears on you. But when you're winning those games, you're sleeping a whole lot better. And I think that's the one thing. They know somebody will step up or at least give them the opportunity to be one swing away. And I think that's an important factor. And it's one thing I notice when I get to see the dugout and I see the boys in the locker room. They're they're having a good time. There's smiles on the faces. When you don't have that reaction, when there's a lot of guys that are hanging heads or digging into their phones and being isolated, that's when I worry, and I haven't seen that yet.
Javi, Buster Posey, I'm paraphrasing. Last week he'd mentioned the Carlos Beltran trade and Zach Wheeler, and kind of from the player perspective and what that did to the clubhouse. And I got excited. Like, man, I feel like if, you know, if they keep this up, Buster's like, he won't let that feeling go. Can you speak to it as a player when the organization or the FO goes out and adds something, what that can do just to the players on the team? Does that show confidence?
Yeah, it's a shot in the arm. There's no question. If you have a guy, and usually that's the speech you get. You get the generic speech in spring training from every front office when you first come into the ball club. It's like, hey, I want you guys to do this. They lay out their mission statement of what they want to see during the year, and then usually it's put me in a position where I have to make an addition in the All-Star after the All-Star break. Like, put me in that spot. Make me add. And that's the message yet again. I think, again, a couple weeks ago, with the DFA of Lamont Wade Jr., like, he saw that at that point, I think the Giants were maybe 9 games over .500, somewhere in that range. And you've banked a couple wins now. You've put yourself in a position to be fighting for the division title right now, that you need the offense to click. I need to make some moves, and this is what's going to happen for now. And that's not to say it won't change here in the next couple weeks. But I think when you get that from Buster Posey and his pedigree and the way he is, I tell you what, he's just in a calm demeanor, too, the way he delivers that. But when I read that same thing about making the move for Beltran, Beltran was one of the best hitters in the league going at that time, and he hit well for the Giants. Unfortunately, he got hurt for us, and that was the killer. When he got hurt, that kind of killed what little momentum we had going there. I mean, he ended up hitting, I think, around 300 for the Giants, but ultimately it just wasn't The injury bug caught him. And I think when you look at what Buster's going to try to do, he's making the phone calls. He's trying to engage these GMs and team presidents on where they are. But you look at the landscape across baseball, a lot of these guys are just so risk averse to make a move. And I think that's where Buster's going to run into a little bit of trouble. It's like, I would imagine every package that he tries to make, everyone's going to ask for Eldridge. No matter what he wants, even if it's a complimentary bench piece, it'll be like, yeah, I'll give you so-and-so. I want Eldridge. You know, I think, and that's something that he's going to have to fight through, and it's going to be annoying conversations, but he's anxious to help this club out. I mean, again, you've banked a good amount of wins. You're half game out. You want to take advantage of it, and the Giants are doing a good job of making them have to think and work.
Javi, thank you so much for your time.
It,
great stuff. And man, this team has really turned it around in the last week. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's going to be a good story going on the rest of the summer.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Javi. Appreciate it, man.
You're welcome, guys. Anytime. Appreciate you.
All right. Javi Lopez, San Francisco Giants color analyst for NBC Sports Bay Area. He's in Colorado, 4-time World Series champion, 3 times with the Giants.
Cool cat, man.
And he's really cool.
Yeah.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
He's really cool. Boy, you got to feel optimistic right now.
I'm with you.
If you're a Giants fan, what do you give me for the I'm not looking to pat myself on the back, but they lost. They were 7-9 during a 16-game stretch where they scored only 32 runs.
All right.
Then they don't necessarily break out, because I think they still only have scored no more than 6 runs in a game since then. But it feels like once they started getting results halfway through that Padres series, like, and I've told you this a million times, I think having an identity is huge.
Oh my gosh. In life.
And I just feel like they now know, they're not going to score a ton of runs, but they've gotten more comfortable figuring out how to win when they don't score more than four runs.
You're going to, I'm not even mad at that. I love it. But Steiny, I feel like, you know, that's when a person looks themselves in the mirror and they know who they are. And I'll say to that, I feel like you're describing worst case scenario. And the only reason I'm saying that is, let's just say it doesn't get, the offense doesn't get any better. The question is what they're doing good enough? And right now it looks like it is.
what they've done the last six games has certainly worked. And the question you've been throwing out there, and I think it's a good one, is it sustainable? And I would answer it two ways. The one run, being 9-1 or whatever in one run games, that's probably not sustainable. But being in a lot of close games and winning a lot of them, maybe not all of them, but that's become their identity. They might be that team that wants to hang in there till the eighth or ninth inning, and then with their bullpen and the trust in their own timely hitting, that's how they're going to win games. And again, you win six like you just did, you got to be more confident at that point.
And we talk about their lack of hitting, but last night, Steiny, that was their eighth win, down three-plus runs or more. Only Cleveland and Toronto are behind them with seven, but I bring that up because to have eight wins down that much, it's like baseball's again, timely hitting. When are you getting the hits? And that's just another metric or an example of it ain't over till it's over. And when they do hits, Donnie, they're meaningful.
Yeah, it doesn't, like, you wouldn't think that stat out of this
eight.
Team.
Three.
I mean, I remember we were talking about when Steph Curry said, yeah, we're not built to come back. You got furious. And
did he end up being right?
Well, remember, it was before they traded for Butler.
Gotcha.
And then
he was right.
You know, then I want to say Butler's first game, they came back from 20 against Chicago or something like that. I can't quite remember. But no, you wouldn't expect this team to lead the league in overcoming three-run deficits, but there you have it. Clearly the explanation for that, it's baseball.
Yeah.
It's baseball.
I got some trivia for you. I know we're about to get out of here. So you mentioned to Javi the six games won by one run.
Yes.
The last team to do that.
Oh, God.
I know that's – I mean, and I want Evan to take a crack at it.
The Yankees.
Like, but why are you blowing? Because it's kind of
– Well, because it's –
I'm going to have to find a needle in the haystack.
It's – that's not a great question.
But I love the answer. Evan, you got it? You want to take a shot at it?
He thinks it's BS, too.
The last team to win six games in a row by one run.
By one run?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, see?
He said, he didn't give me
Angels.
He got it, the 1989, not Los Angeles. This is why I like it. California Angels.
Well, he knew. So you clearly got that from a published story that was well-read, and Evan happened to read it, too. Where'd you get it, ESPN?
49er, Frankie.
It was on the broadcast last night.
Was it on the broadcast? I didn't get it there.
Or maybe they were talking about a post game. Bonte was talking about it.
Bonte!
That's probably where 49er Frankie.
He was talking about how much he had been bad luck on the, I think it was like 2-6 Bonte. So they got a win. He was on the post game yesterday, Steiny.
Good for Bonte.
You don't ever want to be a jinx in life.
I don't believe in that.
You should.
I don't believe in jinxes. I don't. All right. 888-957-9570 is the number. Giants got it going, ladies and gentlemen. I want to get more into some of the things Javi Lopez said. And simple question to Giants fans after the last six games. I mean, do you believe that this team and the way they're winning, is it sustainable? 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll be right back.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
2-2. A little dribbler. Bondic will not have a play. Lee ties it up. Like we say all the time, Wilmer Flores does it with his legs.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Dave Fleming on the call, NBC Sports Bay Area. Giants win their sixth in a row. This one, they got four runs in the ninth inning and beat the Colorado Rockies 6-5. Yes, sir,
so,
Guru.
Yeah, you know this about me. I love all ball, hockey, tennis, as we talked about. I love hoop. You know that. I love football. But, partner, you could cut the tension with a butter knife with that at bat last night. You could feel it from Flem. You just, every pitch that he was fouling off, that at bat with Wilmer, like, I'm like, where's this thing going? A K? A homer? A strikeout? That's a K. But I didn't have Dribbler on my bingo card. And for it to play out like that, man. Well, like baseball, man. That's all I'm saying to you. Damn!
How'd you expect it to play out? They've played eight straight one-run games.
No, just the Dribbler.
Get used to it.
No, it ain't the result. The Dribbler.
That's baseball.
And your boy was up there. Cut the stash, the Raleigh Fingers. I want to be the walking dudes. But he was throwing a hundo. He was hitting a hundo.
So what?
Yeah.
He was 100.
That was an intense at bat, man. That's all I'm saying to you. Sound up? Did you watch the game with the sound?
Of course. Matt Chapman. That's the one piece of news that a little bit.
It's bad news.
A little bit. Giants expect to be without Matt Chapman for several weeks and potentially most of the 30 games that remain before the All-Star break.
That's a lot of games.
An MRI in his right hand showed sprained ligaments and a bone bruise. So, man, this thing obviously is going to linger a little more than just the 10 days that he'll be on the injured list.
We did see the domino effect of him not being in the lineup, Stoney. I don't know if you noticed, Chap. Adames was batting second, and he took advantage of it, a home run, sack fly.
The Giants also have a little issue at catcher with Bailey. He's got a neck issue. Bobby, Melvin, how we feeling? How's he feeling, more important?
Yeah, I heard he did something with his neck right after batting practice to where it locked up, couldn't play. So Kisner's going to have that entire game no matter what. We'll see how he is tomorrow. I'll probably play Kis again tomorrow, and then hopefully Bailey can play on the last day.
All right. Bob Melvin saying Bailey may need...
Well, you're going to miss his defense for sure, but not the stick. And Kisner made a great play on that bunt, Stoney, gunning the runner out. But, yeah, he'll definitely be missed. I don't know. Like you said, we don't know when he's coming back, but behind the plate, not with the stick.
888-957-9570 is the number. Giants win another thriller last night, and I just can't get over the difference between last Wednesday and this Wednesday. After the Giants had lost their first two to the Padres, and I'm sorry, fans, and you know I love you, but there was a lot of desperation last Wednesday. I was starting to feel a little sorry for this fan base. Their team couldn't score, and here we are a week later, and people are now saying, huh, this team reminds me a little bit of the teams that won three titles. Wow. All in one week, Goo. No,
well, see, I feel like you're robbing the Giants and the Giant fans because they accumulated this good record going into that Padres series. And you're right, the feelings and the vibes were down, rightfully so, only because the way they had lost those games, the last two to the Padres. But, Stoney, they have been getting – or I'm going Arsenio Hall. They've been getting busy from game one in regard to putting this record together, and now they're kind of just – they're doing something now it's like, you're right, this comes with it. Where could this thing go? And that's the beauty of sports.
Yeah, I mean, where could it go? It could go toward winning the division, getting a wild card, or it could fizzle out in the next 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. That's baseball.
What'd you make of Doval?
I solid.
Yeah. Well, three guys got on. I wasn't as clean as I wanted it, but he got it done.
I mean, I think that no, he wasn't great, yeah, but he dug himself out of it. He did what he had to do, and he ends up getting a
great double play by Casey Schmidt. That was a great, yeah, great catch to start the double play. That was big.
This is Bob Melvin on what this team may have to do without Chapman.
right away with Adames, too. I mean, Jung-Hoo leads off with a triple, and Adames gets him in. I think that's really good for him. And then we're going to need contributions from everybody. And look, Kisner's at-bat was huge as far as the inning went, drawing a walk right there after being, you know, so he called upon, what, an hour before the game, maybe? And he was ready to go. So, you know, just a lot of good things happened in that last inning where earlier in the game, not so much.
Bob Melvin in Denver last night. After the Giants victor.
And standing the written, I'm being honest, you hadn't asked, but I mean, what, with fifth, sixth, seventh inning or and the eighth, I felt like the Rockies bullpen was just, there were seven strikeouts by Giant batters doing those four innings. And I'm, you know me, I'm always quick to get to judgment, but I was like, man, this just might not be the night. So I definitely, even though it was the Rockies and their 12 wins, Stoney, I did not have the Giants coming back. I just didn't. And Casey Schmidt just, bam, for see you later.
I mean, I'm not saying I knew they were going to come back. And obviously when Colorado tacked on two in the eight,
man,
it looked a little bit worse. But
you still thought they had action?
Yes, I did. Man. And it's because you could – it was coming through the television screen. It was coming through the screen that it was clear that the Rockies – we're gonna struggle to close that game out.
But yeah, I like just you're feel basing it. That off their record.
That's right.
But the
no
okay.
kidding. That
it
is
like
why
they left like the bases loaded last night in two
they
minutes in a row.
They
you know?
Don't know how to win. They don't. You could like
that's it, incredible.
That's the first time I saw the Rockies. I could just you could Man. Just sense it was kind of coming apart.
That is heaven.
They struck out like eight batters in four relief innings.
We're
like,
talking specifically about the ninth. So when Schmidt
No. Guru's talking about before, like going into the ninth inning, you thought there was action where the Giants had nothing going and just gave up two runs. Yeah,
they had struck out seven times.
They didn't
times.
Touch a single relief pitcher.
Yeah.
And you still were like, it can happen in the ninth.
Of course. At Coors Field? I mean, I'm not saying I predicted it.
No, you're acting like you saw it coming. Like, just say you're shocked like the rest of us, because you are.
That's no, my boy.
I'm not shocked. I'm not. I'm not saying I predicted it, but it was like you could tell from the moment Schmidt homered,
yeah,
that guy was in trouble.
Different, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Who saw that coming?
Who?
The Schmidt homer. Not saying you're saying you did, but I
just
was
because,
like,
listen,
be one,
just
two,
because
three,
I and... wait for the final out to be made before I put it in the win or loss column.
But
yeah, just... and you know what? I'll be honest with you. Colorado stinks. It's like watching the Warriors when they got it all going and they're playing the Charlotte Hornets and they're down 11 with 3 minutes to go and you're saying it's not over.
No, let's do this. A 3-run lead in the ninth by the worst baseball team is equivalent to me being down 11 with 90 seconds left in the NBA game. That's when you're like, you know what? This is too daunting. We probably won't win it. And they pulled it out.
This is what this proves. I mean, and I'm not proud of it, but it's why I'm not a fan and you guys are. Because you gave up.
No.
And I watch it objectively. And I'm saying this team has won five straight one-run games. This Rockies team stinks. Agnos gets peppered right off the bat. And I'm thinking, oh boy, this is like Charlotte. Trying to close out the Warriors.
Wow, Stoney, Kane Slybrender on the YouTube chat. Stoney, how are you saying all this with a straight face? That's her saying it to you.
Because I guess I watch the games differently. Let me be clear. I didn't say top of the ninth, top of the ninth, Giants are going to win this game, but I certainly wasn't it in the books. Why would you put it in the books?
Because they were down three in the ninth and hadn't done diddly squat for four straight innings.
Okay.
And the closer was coming in. That's all.
Yeah. And their closer, as Javi Lopez said, their closer been struggling.
Yeah. That happened.
Yeah, but you didn't know that until he said it.
Evan.
The numbers on the board say 4-for-4 save opportunities, a 2.4 ERA. Please, like, just.
Evan.
Just seriously.
Seriously what?
Fess up to it.
So you're saying that
you're trying to put fans in their place for feeling a completely normal reaction with their team down three in the ninth.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, I get it. How a fan would be like, we're stuck. We're not going to win this game. And I'm thinking you're in Coors Field against the worst team, and maybe worst team in baseball history.
No, no, no. You said if I had only watched the Rockies that one game, I would have said the game's not over. The Rockies looked dominant last night until the ninth inning.
Okay, yeah, no, I thought the Giants were going to get beat. You happy? I'm just telling you.
I got you.
You're still playing the worst team in the league, and they still needed three outs.
It sounds like you're not impressed by what they did last night.
The Giants?
Yes.
No, I am impressed. It's just that I didn't, you know, they still had one at bat left against that team.
You like math?
Shut up, Goo. Now, you guys are both bothering me.
I'll walk out of here.
Promise?
And I won't look back.
Quit trying to cheer me up.
I'll walk out of here.
I dare you.
You got one on the, you have left a shell before.
That segment was brought to you by Crystal Geyser, Alpine Spring Water.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.